I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and this is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. We've been bombarded with images and catchphrases heralding a new era for a number of decades now. From the marketed scientific publications like the Aquarian Conspiracy, to the blue environmental humanoids of Avatar, to the end of the world apocalypse that Hollywood envisioned as the running out of the Mayan calendar, we've been up to our keisters in pop culture interpretations of the changing consciousness brought by a relentless New Age spirituality for almost as long as I've been alive, and way longer than that in the esoteric literature from Europe. Some portray this as an inevitable product of the cosmic cycles of consciousness that are moving us dramatically towards the third millennium. Others say it's all the destiny portrayed in revelations in the Bible. Still others that it's all a product of the endless cycles of birth and death being acted out on a global scale. A lot of room for interpretation and speculation, isn't there? Which is why it's important here in the middle of the thing to try to do something and not just speculate. Putting the new consciousness into practice today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. If you've been following us for a while, thank you. And I'm sure you'll have observed, no doubt, that we've been trying to broadcast our program on a couple of radio networks in an attempt to get our program out to new groupings of people. But after all that, I've kind of felt that the best way to broadcast our important work is through our own radio network. So that's what we've done. We've set up now the Stop Radio Network, up and running 24/7. You'll find a listen button now on our healingthroughconsciousness.com homepage. Just click to listen around the clock to our vast library of Thinking with Somebody Else's Head programs, and also our 25 or so Healing Through Consciousness programs. That was a psychological advice show I produced with Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco a couple of years ago. I would love to see us revisit that program, you know, an online advice show with listener call-ins. If you'd like to see that, just write me and we'll see if we can set it up again. That would be really fantastic to do. My email is joneshealing@gmail.com. We will be adding new shows to our roster as we go along here. Our good friend Susan Berkeley is working on a business show where she's going to analyze current business themes and trends through the lens of the science of psychosociopathology. That'll be a very interesting show coming soon to our Stop Radio Network. And Bob Butler, another of our good friends, is working on a show where he reads excerpts from Dr. Kepi's books and comments on them. We'll have more to come on all that, of course, as these new programs develop. I want to start letting you know, too, about a world forum that we're going to be holding here in Brazil this year, 2012, June 28th to July 1st, 2012, to be specific. This will be a fabulous chance for any of you to immerse yourself in trilogical science in a practical way, and then take your ideas on how to implement these practical action steps back to your community. We're going to make this a very affordable event to try to make this available to as many people from around the world as possible, because we really feel that Dr. Kepi's Science of Analytical Trilogy has enormous potential applications around the world. And so if you're a leader in your community or very, very interested in what we're doing, we would really love to have you down here. So do start planning to join us. Okay, once again, June 28th to July 1st, 2012. And again, my email, joneshealing@gmail.com. I met a number of you in San Diego and would love the chance to reconnect, and especially to develop some working projects that we could develop together around the world to help the world in this really critical time of our human existence. So come on down, as that great Canadian Monty Hall used to say. I began the show by talking about the changing consciousness, and I can say that from my experience, this has probably nothing to do with automatic advances and everything to do with enormous work and effort by many to make us more aware. For 50 years now, Norberto Kepi's work has been part of that great effort of conscientization of the world. In a number of influential and elemental books and TV programs, Kepi has outlined the principal causes of our problems and crises and pointed the way to solutions. That's important to say, too. And not superficial solutions only, like recycling or riding bikes to work or taking the money out of politics, as valuable as those are. No, Kepi's work goes much deeper than that. to warn us of the dangers of an economic system driven by a desire to get something for nothing, which is our modern-day speculation, right? And to organize other people to work for us, modern-day capitalism. All of those form the basis of the modern economic system. This is inversion in Kepi's language. And without addressing that inverted philosophy, no new system or oversight or regulation or leader will ultimately improve anything. We'll explore some practical examples of all that in our program today when we return, with Gilbert Gambucci first and Dr. Claudia Pacheco in our last segment today. Gilbert is our International Society of Analytical Trilogy representative at Occupy Wall Street in New York, and what he's been doing there to try to tackle these core issues at their root. That's what we'll be looking at when we return on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. Don't go away. We're coming right back. We are back. Thinking with Somebody Else's Head is on the Stop Radio Network. My name is Richard Lloyd-Jones. Our program today is trying to put consciousness into practice. That's what we're going to endeavor to do right now. Gilbert Gambucci is live. Well, of course, by the time you're listening to him, he's not live anymore. He's still alive, but we're recording this, of course, from the Occupy Wall Street area in New York City. His new offices in Brooklyn. Are you well established there in the offices, Gilbert, in Brooklyn? Everything's looking good?
Well, we're getting started. Got lucky, found a very nice place near the downtown Brooklyn on Atlantic Avenue. And it's a very nice area, and I'm kind of enjoying the situation.
And what are you guys going to be doing there? We'll talk about that, but I want to get a general tone from you, too, about what's happening with the Occupy movement, what's happening with the 99% versus the 1%. But first, bring us up to date on what you're doing in these offices in Brooklyn.
Well, I'm setting up a way of working model that we've been with Dr. Kepi with this for years now, yeah? This working model of trilogical enterprises of Norberto Kepi, how to do this. It's a way that it's neither capitalism nor socialism. It's the third way. It's a new way. And for example, it's not capitalism in the sense that even cooperatives, they earn by capital invested. You know, people can do that. Depends on the cooperative, you know. And in this trilogical enterprises, you earn. Oh, the only people who earn are those who work. You earn by productivity. That's another mistake that most cooperatives make. They, everybody earns the same thing, thinking that that will solve problems. But it doesn't. That creates problems because some people produce more than others. Some are more efficient. Sometimes they produce many more, much more than others. And this has to be taken into consideration in order to have a working environment that is fair, that is more just. And so Dr. Kepi's science brings in ethical questions into the working place and even spiritual questions. Imagine, Rich, we want to bring in a spiritual ethics, a correct philosophy of life into the sickest sector of society, which in contemporary society, that's the economic sector, because this is where the powerful dominate the population. And this is what really needs to be corrected. It's the most difficult sector.
How are you finding people accepting these ideas of productivism, Gilbert, of these new types of businesses? Are they noticing the distinction between what's gone before in terms of cooperatives, as you're talking about? Are they seeing the difference? Are they responding well to what you're trying to do there?
Well, first of all, Rich, I have to say that we're just starting up here. We're just getting going, and people do see the differences immediately, and the advantages people will perceive as we go along. You know, I have to see it in practice, you know. They're very curious about the ideas. They're interested. And so I'm working with three different groups or companies at the same time under the same umbrella where workers are owners. And as they are more artistic endeavors, we're calling them where workers are owners studios. So we have one group of three photographers, very good professional artistic photographers, And we're looking into forming something very interesting as has come up. I can't let the cat out of the bag immediately until I'll be reporting back to you as things progress. And also musicians, music lessons and performances. Right now it's for piano, harp, and guitar. And also a website designers. We have a couple of really good ones, and some work has been coming in for that. And so we're getting started.
Yeah, it's very nice, Gilbert, because this idea of building a company around people's work, what people do, is really a great idea. As you develop, you begin to draw other people in to join you as partners in the company, right? Not necessarily only as employees. I think this is a really different way of running a business. It gets rid of all that kind of speculative idea or the idea of the boss that he needs to receive more for doing less or however those kinds of ideas, they get dealt with right away in this kind of company, don't they?
Yes, because there are no employees. There's no single owner, or, you know, it's not capitalism. So no one is exploited and no one exploits. Everyone in the company is an equal owner, but that doesn't mean that you earn equally. You earn according to your productivity. And this is a differentiating factor from any other structure that I've ever seen.
There may be some people listening, Gilbert, I'm certain there are, that think, wow, this is kind of cool. I'd like to support that. I need a website done, or I need my kids need piano lessons, or I need some photography done. How do they contact you? Do you guys have a website, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. It's whereworkersareowners.com. And as I speak with you now, it's almost ready. It's you know, it's like another day or two, it'll be up and running. So probably by the time people are hearing this, it's ready. And our telephone is here in New York, 347-399-5305. And, you know, we have, of course, in any kind of a company, you need administration, you need workers, it's structured. And we just earn according to what you produce. Always setting aside a percentage for expenses and development for growth, you know, because we want to improve our studios.
I'm very happy to hear about this, Gilbert, because I really feel that this way of working offers a lot of solutions for people that we haven't considered yet as we try to, you know, create another way of working in a society outside this garbage of the 1% of the 99%, creating our own companies. This really offers some solutions. And I know that many Americans who come here to visit, they're very struck by the effectiveness of these kinds of businesses too. And our new Canadian friend, Will Lajeunesse, who's been down here for about a month and a half now, has noticed the same thing. He's very, very impressed by this idea of doing business. In fact, he wants to start encouraging a number of his friends in Canada to starting their own businesses based on this model. So I think what you're doing there is really gives us hope, gives us an opportunity to do something different in the world. This is really nice to see solutions.
Yes, you know, these trilogical enterprises have been hammered out by Dr. Kepi for 30 years now, you know, or even a bit more. So it has really been tried and tested, and it's very practical. For example, around here at Occupy, there are several cooperatives springing up, and each one is trying to deal with the legalities of opening a cooperative, you know. But the trilogical enterprises, you open one, and you house several companies under the same one. As kind of departments, you know, it's much more economical in this sense. You share the same expenses. You know, you share the same office, the same telephone, if you like, the same secretary, perhaps even the same administrator, depending on the situation. But the money that comes in belongs to each company, and the profit distributing, you know. And what people need to start to perceive more and more is that this is a very significant aspect of our revolution, because working for yourselves, you know, people are demanding jobs. Well, demanding jobs from highly exploitative companies is not necessarily a good idea. So why not create our own jobs? And as you were alluding to before, we do the kind of work that we want to do for each other, the kind of services that humanity needs, and not just pounding out the same old products over and over and over, the same cars, the same vacuum cleaners, the same things just to make money. We're about doing quality work and the kind of services that people would like to see be done. You know, it's not like a closed idea market of what civilization needs. You know, there are many very creative, very industrious people out there that, given the chance, we can make life much more interesting for ourselves by servicing ourselves with the kind of things that we would like to see to make life more enchanting, more productive, more active. As Charlie Chaplin said, life should be a beautiful adventure. And so with these trilogical enterprises, this is our goal. You know, we want to service each other in a way that is more just and more interesting. And these enterprises have the capacity to do that.
Beautiful proposal. And while you're in the sort of throes of developing it, it'll be very, very nice to see how it comes together, Gilbert. Thanks for that. Hey, listen, what's happening? What's the tone at Occupy Wall Street? I know you're pretty much focused now on these businesses. Are you still going down there, finding out what's happening? Bring us up to date on that.
You know, there are demonstrations going on all the time still. Of course, we're in the middle of winter. Here in the late January, we've had a mild winter so far, and Rich, things are turning from demonstrations to campaigns in order to fortify. For example, just this past weekend, there was Occupy the Courts because of the atrocious injustices that happened through the court system. And rather than just have one demonstration, we are mounting campaigns in each of the different sectors. And so imagine there were 300 people out there in sub-zero temperature with various dignitaries, shall I say, of the community, you know, not only the occupiers. And so we're expecting in the spring for things to really develop. And as I said, not just demonstration at a time, but now they are campaigns. So they are fortifying and pulling in more people. And because we insist that justice has to come, and it will come, it's happening. On the other side of things, we're kind of in the middle of winter, and some of us we're having difficulties. We're trying to get a better footing. Because we do get attacked. There are very subversive things that happened against us that are coming from the 1%. So for the example, we're trying to deal with that in whatever kind of way we can. So just this past Sunday, I went out to one of the churches where some of the occupiers sleep at night. And because they have a rather decent piano there, so I did a consciousness concert for them. That's what I call my type of concerts, because I always bring in, I always speak in the middle. But what it was, as it was their kind of home, let's say, it was almost a pajama party. People were watching the concert in their pajamas. we're having a bit of a dialogue in between the music. So I would play a few things, and then we would talk about a few things that they would like to talk about, and developing more tolerance for each other, seeing better the significance of what we are doing, to encourage people, you know, to hang in there. And because this year, 2012, in our opinion, scientifically speaking, looking at it from a social pathological point of view, this year is going to determine everything. We believe that the 1% is going to fall this year. And we may see some havoc, some confusions in 2013, but at least it'll be our confusions to clean up and rectify, and no longer belonging to the 1%.
Yeah, it seems to me that 1% is getting that message. Clearly, they're starting to complain about being attacked too much. Like they're being attacked, you know. They don't like to have anybody shine the light on them too much. And I noticed a friend of ours just sent me a blog about some French protesters now occupying Monsanto and spilling genetically modified maize and making a big protest against Monsanto. So these kinds of movements, Gilbert, are only increasing, not decreasing. How is the mood, though in terms of these new pieces of legislation that the United States has passed there, the NDAA and the companion legislation to take away the citizenship of anybody they feel is involved in terrorist activities? Is this affecting people? Are people up in arms about this? What's happening there?
Here at Occupy Wall Street, Rich, we are activists. So, of course, there are demonstrations one after the other in relation to these things, you know, because we see that the 1% are very afraid now. So they're really attacking. But what's happening is that the consciousness of the planet is growing continually. And as you and I know, the work of Norberto Kepi, he is the cutting edge of consciousness. And as a result, your work of these podcasts that you do and in media in general, you're on the cutting edge of what really is media in terms of bringing a consciousness to society. Because this is the true proposal of the media. It's the social consciousness, which of course corporate media doesn't do. They attack consciousness. And so I would like just to commend your work in this thing as well, because it's very significant. And this is what is destroying the 1% consciousness. They can't continue anymore. They were able to act enslave humanity because people didn't quite perceive what was going on. Now that consciousness is growing and growing, so it's a question of time. We'll have our planet back, we'll have our nation back, we'll have our lives back.
Just got to win the winter, as you told us in one of the other previous programs. We have to win the winter. And I think if we keep this pressure on, because you know, I think we don't really believe, maybe, Gilbert, enough in the power of consciousness, that when consciousness changes, nothing goes back to normal. These guys who have been dominating us, these 300 families, whatever it is, that have been running things all over the world, the Bank of International Settlements, these various trilateral groups, the Bilderbergers, these kinds of groups where they meet in secret and plan the world agenda. These guys cannot have power if there's consciousness, because they survive only in the darkness. So the power of this consciousness that we're all working together to bring is very, very important. And what I think is important is to really remember that it's consciousness of a new society of psychopathology, sociopathology that's necessary, not just protest, but real conscious protest, as you're talking about today.
Exactly. Exactly, Rich. This is our number one weapon, consciousness.
Great. Thank you, Gilbert. Wonderful report. Great to hear from you. Stay warm, my friend.
Okay. Hope to speak with you again, pal.
Gilbert Gambucci is our man on the street at the Occupy Wall Street movement in New York. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco joins us in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. We are on the Stop Radio Network now, and Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco has joined me again. We've had a couple of weeks where I have not been available, so I've been the guilty one, why we haven't done programs for a while, and it's time to
too
get
busy,
back.
Right? Too many students, too many fans.
Many things to do.
Yes. I have heard about your success in your classes, Richard.
Our classes?
Your students love you. And I'm sure if those people who listen to us abroad, if they come here to meet you and meet us, then they will enjoy this work even better, because then they will have your assistance, personal assistance, and in many ways. And people who have you as a teacher, as a coach, they really love you. They really love you.
Well, And
so
I love them.
What if we did an invitation today?
I was just thinking, do you want to invite people?
Because, you know, I was thinking and discussing with you yesterday that we have those immersions in our place, in our hotel. I don't know how to call that, really, because it's a hotel, but it's not really a hotel because it's much better than a hotel.
Yeah.
It belongs to our association, and there we can do and live something magic.
It's in a bucolic town, about 350 kilometers. It's about 270 miles, maybe, from São Paulo, in a beautiful part of Brazil. Very agricultural area. It has the Atlantic forest all throughout there, coffee
mountains.
Plantations, mountains, waterfalls. Mm-hmm. We have a
mineral
beautiful...
Mineral water, the best mineral waters and baths. We have
a spectacular hotel there, and I mean spectacular. It's not a 6-star, but it is extremely... It's an Art Deco hotel that we've restored. That
it's
is
cozy,
extremely
even
comfortable.
Though it's big, it's cozy because it belongs to us.
Yeah. And we have events there that are unparalleled. And we have a number of social projects there which are paving the way for a new society. They're very exciting.
And something very interesting in what we do there is
I
that
agree.
This hotel is run by ourselves. So we have teachers working as waiters. And we have
and
doctors working as musicians. During the night, they go to the theater and they play. During the lunch and the dinner time, they serve the tables. And, and they do mutirões. I don't know how to say this.
This is like a work bee, we say, in a very old way, that we get together and do work for the community and around the
hotel.
For
the community. Yeah. And we prepare our scenarios, how do you call this? Stages.
Stages, yes, we do.
We prepare the stages. We
deliver the performances.
We rehearse all these, the shows.
The doctors will be serving you dinner, and then they'll be seeing you for a consultation in psychosomatic medicine.
Yes, and then you have a good place to be, where is the Café Europa, Europa Café, where we meet and we laugh and we discuss and we meet people from all over the world. And we share dreams and ideals. And then we have our theater, comic theater. Oh, my God, it's so good. And then we go to the hairdresser, and it's a meeting point.
the women go to the hairdresser. Yeah,
no, but men go there, too.
Yeah, but we don't have a meeting place. Like, that's a woman's thing.
Yeah. but we really, it's really something. It's really beautiful. Because if you need a place to accomplish good things, ideals, like good, beautiful, and truthful things, then that's the place.
And you know what?
It's like a dreamland.
It is. It's like a beautiful society now.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talk, we have contact with people all over the world. You do through the Dr. Kepi's clinic. Will and I do through our radio program, through all the sites that we produce. We have a lot of sites through our schools and things. We have contact with people all over the world.
Yes, and some of them come every year to spend time with us.
And what we've noticed is that there's a real hunger to know how we do what we do.
Yeah.
Because we have a very dynamic community of businesses, clinics, social projects, individual and group therapy. It's a spiritual orientations. Mm-hmm. So we have a community that really is dynamic, and I think is really a model. So people want to come from around the world to find out, well, how do you guys do it? How do you deal with the power struggles and the relationship difficulties and the basic day-to-day hassles of running a business, of working together.
But we have a method.
We have this.
A scientific method, which is a psychosociotherapy, where we deal with all those problems of relationship. Because generally communities and companies, they fight so much. They fight. And to a point that these communities, they just dismantle. Like, they finish. They are over.
Like rock groups. They don't survive.
They don't survive because it's so much fighting and envy and jealousy and power struggle and So
fights over money and fights over relationships and
so problems. We have three times a week at least we get together with a professional, very highly professional
orienter, maybe could we say this?
Orientation, assessoria, consulting.
Yeah, consulting.
From Dr. Kepi, from myself, from other analysts. So we run every week group therapies, like or workshops, as we can say, group therapies, where we discuss all those problems, working place problems, problems in the residence, or whatever problems.
Yeah. And these businesses, these ways of working work because of that, but also because of Dr. Kepi's disinversion of this idea of money and work, and
We don't work for money, but money comes as a consequence.
Yeah, and now Gilbert is starting in New York to reestablish those companies that you guys started there 400 years ago, however long ago it was, 20 or 30 years ago, you were experimenting with that model.
Yesterday night, I talked to Gilbert, and he was saying, "Oh, Dr. Claudia, now the people are getting, like, they are starting to wake up and they are starting to realize their possibilities in this businesses. And they are having the first estimates accepted. So they have their first jobs. And they have three companies, right?
Yes.
Which are?
There's a photography and a couple of photographers. There's a web design and there are music lessons. These three different businesses.
Where workers are owners, right?
Yeah.
The 99% companies.
Fantastic.
This is something, isn't it?
Yes.
This is beautiful. Going back to New York now after, as you said, 400 years, having new people joining the team of where the workers are owners. And if they continue with that, Richard, very soon these companies will grow, because as soon as people know who they are and if they have an honest work, why not hire them instead of exploiters?
You know, I was talking to one of my executive clients this morning, and he's just come back from New York. He's doing an executive MBA there, and he said that this last module of the program was about leadership and new business. And he's saying everybody's business today, everybody has the idea of business, of creating this great idea, and then selling this great idea for $50 billion, like Google or Facebook. And our businesses are not based on that. They're not based on creating some sort of elusive idea. They're based on an idea, of course, but they're based on work, on actually producing something that provides a product and a service.
Not to make money, but to do what is good, what is necessary, quality work, to help society and help ourselves, and also to accomplish our talents and our ideals. Everybody have ideals or has ideals to do like an artwork or some profession that normally they would not be able to perform because they have to fill up holes in a company where they just go inside and they are just one more piece of this
whole thing that comes together. And you know, the more I'm here, 10 years now, and Will, our dear Canadian friend, has been here for a couple of months, and he really sees that there are real solutions here.
Now, the solution. What is the solution?
Well,
because, you know, we are not saints. We are not dealing with ideal people. If people come to visit us, they will see many problems. But we have a different philosophy and a different perspective about how human beings should be, how human beings really are, and how a society should be, and how society is. So we look for a better society to improve us and the society through consciousness of errors, through consciousness of pathology. So instead of, for instance, I'll give an example. If there is someone who is lazy in the group, instead of telling that person, you must work, you must work, you must work.
Stop being lazy.
You must produce. We do something like in the opposite direction, but with a better result. We say, you are lazy. And give examples. And then saying, what do you want with that? It's an analysis, a scientific analysis in this group of therapies. So the person must realize why he's choosing to be lazy and these advantages they have in being lazy and how much, what are the consequences and what are the negative consequences of that. So we deal...
Not for others, but for him.
For everybody.
For others too, yeah.
And so we deal with the consciousness of pathology in order to reach the sanity, because sanity is something that we don't need to teach people. It's inside the structure of a human being. So everybody knows that he must be good, he must be beautiful, he must be fair, he must be...
Sensible, kind,
yeah.
Loving.
If he is not behaving that way, it's because he's inverted, he's upside down, and he's seeing more advantage in being otherwise. So the thing is that the group shows, we are seeing you, and we know that who you are. You pretend not to see and not, maybe you are not really realizing who you really are, but we know who you are. So we know you, and we accept you, but we are watching your behavior. So just know that, and by knowing this and the negative consequences, the person will not be forced to change, but he will naturally want to change.
But look at the difference there, colleagues. Normally, if I think of this in a North American perspective, we will try to encourage the person, you know, we'll try to stimulate and, you know, give him the reasons. Come on, you can do it. Let's go. And this is exactly the opposite. It's trying to through the conscientization of the error, the person understands. Because we, as you said, we have this beautiful base. We know what's right. And so our laziness is a kind of an attitude against the true nature of who we are, right?
So we have to find out what is behind our mask and to be confronted and look to the mirror who we really are or who someone else is or how is society really, and not to put masks anymore, because Freud said neurosis comes because of the mask the person wants to use, and Jesus spoke the same.
The masks
and the hypocritical behavior, which was the worst behavior, and even Socrates spoke about this. So the thing is to put the person in front of his own truth and the truth of society, how society really is and behave behind the mask. So by doing that, where do we get to the true essence of the human being, which is beautiful, good, and truthful? So that's how we have been dealing with Kepi's method, and the results are very good. The results are very good. The improvement of the profits, the raising profits, and they have a good amount of patrimonio.
Yeah, this is like an inheritance. We have like a huge assets inside
assets
our company.
That you have been accumulating all these years, and a good quality of life and friends, and you can trust. So it's really a human situation. We have all our flaws, our weaknesses, but anyhow, we have this, like this rule, or like the rules. Our agenda is to speak the truth, to be truthful, and some things are not tolerated here. A few, like playing like the powerful one.
Yeah, we don't look
powerful
well on the pathology
role,
of power. No.
Pathology of power.
That is controlled very
arrogance,
well.
Arrogance. Yeah. Hypocrisy. Stealing, lying.
Yeah, these usual things.
Well, stealing, like not stealing a pencil or something like, but you know, and wanting to exploit our neighbors.
Yeah.
This is something that it's not accepted.
Yeah. So if people want to come. People are listening now thinking, boy, that really sounds interesting.
So we are going to be a week in the end of June, beginning of July in Cambuquira. We are organizing an immersion for our students, and in English, in French, in Portuguese, in Spanish. So we have them there. So people who know how to speak these languages, and if they want to join us, we are going to post some very, very reasonable packages. packages of how they could stay in Cambuquira for a time and join us in this pure action immersion. And this is it. Like the solution, it's to do good.
Yeah, so people can come here and learn from what we do and take it back to their communities. Wouldn't that be fantastic to have
This is beautiful.
So we're inviting you now to be part of spreading the science of psychosociopathology, the science for the 99%, the science the 99% needs to know in order to affect real change in our planet. We have contacts with people around the world, Asia, Europe, North and South America, Africa, Australia. We're inviting you to join us and have a wonderful time here in Brazil to find out more about the science of analytical trilogy, Norberto Kepi's science of psychosociopathology. That's our program for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next time on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. Bye for now.